Amen. You know, I was just considering during the table this portion in John 13 again. When the Lord rose from supper, he laid aside his outer garments, and taking a towel, he girded himself. The song that we just sang, is it number 13? No, number, sorry, 52. We sang a line that says, "Lord, thy love is the expression of thy loving self divine." So I was just considering, because I had read the footnote before, the outer garment signifies the Lord's virtues and attributes in his expression. Hence, the laying aside of his outer garments signifies the putting off of what he was in his expression. I don't know. I didn't understand the footnote. I'm not sure if I still quite understand it, but it seems like he was laying off his outward expression, but then he was expressing his love. It's like his inner being needed to be expressed. So his outward expression he laid aside, but inwardly the essence of love came forth. Amen. So I just enjoyed that while we were singing this morning. Amen. Amen. Well, this is as we said, this is a mini conference. Is that a word? Mini conference. It's impossible to cover everything that we have in this book. But we're focusing on a few lessons or a few messages. So maybe this morning I'll just do a little bit of a recap first. Some might not have been here yesterday. And some things were not touched that I feel that we should touch on a little bit. Don't be worried about the outline. It's quite long. We may or may not read everything. I know for sure the last Roman numeral, which is the first Roman numeral of message 7 in this book, we need to get to that. That's our goal. So somehow we're going to get there. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm so glad I'm not standing here alone. Amen. Standing with all the brothers. Amen. Standing with all of you. Amen. Amen. Oh Lord, flow.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So this, when we were considering going through this, actually when I came back from Anaheim, my feeling was just the whole time, we need to get into these things with the saints. And so I marked the messages that I felt we need to focus on, but where do you stop? So I marked message 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. So that's kind of the heart of this outline. Message 1 and 2 and 8 kind of stand alone, even though they're part very much needed and part of this. So message 1, which Sean had the big task of covering all of message 1. Actually, we thought for a while maybe we would take 2 sessions just for message 1. That's how much is packed into it. Actually, message 1 is kind of an overview, or the brother put it, a golden thread that runs through this entire training. So message 1 is very important. It puts everything together. The message 2, I thought, seems a little odd. There's a message on, well, the title says Song of Songs, the progressive experience of an individual believer's loving fellowship with Christ for the preparation of the bride of Christ. Okay? So individual believer. So I think this is meaningful. This love that we have for the Lord needs to be developed in all of us individually. We need to have a personal, private, intimate, affectionate time with the Lord. That was some of the speaking in that message. So we need to love the Lord personally. And then we know in Song of Songs, "Draw me, we will run after you." So if we all pursue and love the Lord individually, others will be encouraged. Amen. What was the word in one of the messages? I think you spoke that. They'll be driven. They'll drive other saints, right? I think that's the word. I would say drive other saints into God, Amen. Into the inner essence of God. Okay, and then the last message, 8, is taking the God-ordained pathway for the church, the way of Philadelphia. That's the first part of the title. So there you see the expression, the church. So message 1 was an overview. Message 2, our individual relationship with the Lord. And then message 8, all this comes together as the church. Amen. Actually, what the Lord desires is to build up, for the church to build itself up in love, which is right in the heart of this outline. So message 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7, especially, there's a flow here. Message 3 and 4 are on Ephesians. Message 3 is mainly on based on Ephesians, the last verse in Ephesians. Grace, I wish I had it ready. I think I better just read it. It's safer to read it than try to quote. Ephesians 6:24, grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in incorruptibility. Amen. So we see the word grace here. Actually, all of this is for God's grace to flow, for the transmission of grace. We have faith, which is our believing into God, being connected to God, you could say. And then we have our love. Actually, our love motivates us initially to receive the Lord. And then in our Christian life, our love motivates us to continue contacting the Lord so that this grace can flow. Amen. And this word incorruptibility is full of meaning. Incorruptibility means it cannot be corrupted. Actually, I like the expression one of the brothers used. It's unable to be corrupted. Would you like this love? I want this kind of love. Amen. Cannot be corrupted. It's unable. It's like God. He cannot lie. Amen. Even if I don't know if he'd try, but if he tried, he couldn't. He is love. Amen. He can't be other than love. Amen. So God is love. Anyway, this love is incorruptible. And we need to love our Lord Jesus in incorruptibility. And we saw we need to love one another in incorruptibility. Amen. So we use so that's why I think we have message 3 before message 4. Message 4 is also on Ephesians, focus on the goal of Ephesians, which is the building up of the body, the building up of itself in love. Amen. That love needs to be based on this love, the incorruptible love. So all of the mentions of love, 19 times in Ephesians, and I think maybe 5 or 6 times in love, all we have to see it through the glasses of this incorruptible love. This is not a natural love. We have a love feast today. Are we naturally coming together just because we love one another? We love all the saints? Well, if that's the case, then Regina will sit at one table and you might sit at another table and we'll just all love each other naturally. But we're here because of the agape love. Amen. We love the brothers in Regina. Amen. We love the brothers in Fort Francis.
Amen.
And this is sometimes the biggest test. We love all the brothers locally. Amen. Amen. Once that natural love gets taken away, there better be this agape love. Amen. That's the only thing that can hold us.
Amen.
Okay, so message 3 and 4, which we didn't cover in this short weekend, is on Ephesians. Firstly, on Ephesians 6 as the focus, then Ephesians 4. And last night, we covered message 5. Wasn't that enjoyable?
Amen.
Amen. Life's washing in love.
Amen.
To maintain fellowship.
Amen.
What is fellowship? It's just the flow of the divine life.
Amen.
So we have fellowship with the Son, with the Father, and with one another, according to 1 John. So we need to maintain this fellowship. So this fellowship is maintained in love through life's washing. I just enjoy this so much. And then today we're focusing on 6 and 7, the Lord's new commandment given to us that we love one another.
Amen.
Amen. So his new commandment, this is not like an Old Testament kind of a requirement or an outward law. But this is actually, any new commandment in the Bible is just, comes with the person. The Lord is love.
Amen.
So this new commandment is just himself as love.
Amen.
So that's the title. We just sang that song, the Lord's new commandment given to us that we love one another.
Amen.
The message 7, which we'll just touch briefly in Roman numeral 1, which is the last Roman numeral in our outline. Being perfect as the Heavenly Father is perfect. By being perfected in love. Does that scare you? I've always been scared of this part. At the end of Matthew 5, we're all familiar with the so-called Sermon on the Mount. I think there's a better description. I'm not sure what we use now. But anyway, it's the Lord's speaking regarding the kingdom life. There, you have all these high requirements in Matthew 5. And at the end, he says, you shall be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. So, that seems impossible, right? Is anyone here, everyone who feels they're perfect, please raise your hand. Probably no one will raise their hand. But, you shall be perfect. This is going to become a very enjoyable point. I can assure you of that as we go through this outline. Amen. Okay, so now you have message 6 in front of you, which is message 3 in your outline. Amen.
Amen.
The Lord's new commandment given to us to love one another. Actually, I wanted to spend a little bit of time before I get into this outline. To follow this, I think this is at least part of the gold thread that the brothers mention sometimes during this training. So what I noticed is this matter of love being the inner essence of God, or the substance, or you could say the element of God. Actually, let's go through Roman numeral 1 first. I'll touch on it in Roman numeral 2. So Roman numeral 1, let's read it all together. Roman numeral 1. In John 13, after the Lord Jesus washed his disciples' feet to show them
that he loved them to the uttermost, he charged them to do the same to one another if they loved.
In love. Amen. So this, we know the setting here. Sean spoke on this yesterday in message 1. Quite the setting here in Matthew 13. What the Lord did as the last thing before he went to the cross. What would we do? What would I do? I think Sean asked us the questions. What would you do if you knew this was your last day? What would you do? I think for myself, I'd want to be surrounded by the ones I love and maybe say something to them. Well, that's exactly what the Lord did. He spent his last hours with the disciples whom he'd been with for the last 3 years or so. And he laid aside his attainments, you could say, his attributes, and he girded himself, which signifies humility, and even being restrained, restricted, went down on the ground and washed the disciples' feet. So this should leave an impression on us, on the Lord's love for us. And then he charges us here that we should do the same. After this, he says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you." Amen. So he had just shown them his love previously, and now he gives a new commandment that you love one another. Amen. Amen. The commandment in verse 34 is the new commandment given to us by the Lord in the New Testament, which is different from the Old Testament commandments, the old commandments in the Old Testament. I already touched on this. The New Testament commandments of the Lord are not merely injunctions. They are his words, which are spirit and life as a supply to us. Amen. This is what I mentioned earlier. This is so wonderful. His commandments come with, they are spirit and life. Amen. He says in John 63, "The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life." Amen. Two, we should love God and his children with the divine love that is conveyed to us through the words of the Lord to become our experience and enjoyment. Amen. Amen. So this divine love is conveyed in the Word of God, in the Bible. We need to be constituted with this love. How do we get filled with this love? Well, the words that I have spoken to you. The words. Well, I don't have a paper Bible here, but the words that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. Amen. So this way, his words are conveyed to us. B, a way to receive, experience, and enjoy Christ is by keeping his new commandment to love one another for the expression of his love, that all the people may know that we are his disciples. Amen. This matches John 17. There it talks about being perfected into one so that the world may know. And here, we actually need the love of God perfected in us, which is just God himself. Amen. We're going to touch on that on the next Roman numeral. Small one, real love is the issue of the enjoying of enjoying the process trying God in the divine dispensing. Amen. Amen. When we are in the fellowship of the divine life, that is, in the enjoyment of the trying God, the outcome of this enjoyment is the divine love with which we spontaneously love others. Amen. No effort. Amen. This is spontaneous. Amen. Have you ever met a Christian for the first time? You just love him. Right. How do you explain that? Well, it's God's love in him and God's love in you. Amen. Amen. In particular, we love... This is very good. Oh, yeah, this is good. I thought this was a different point. But we love all those who are organically related to our begetting Father. This love is possible only because we have the divine birth. Amen. So we've been born of God. Amen. So we have this love as an element constituted into us. Here we have a triangular love involving God, ourself, and all those born of God. Amen. This is in the organic union with the triune God who is love. Amen. Okay, this Roman numeral 2 I really enjoy. This is kind of the thread I was referring to. The love of God is God himself. Love is the inward essence of God and the heart of God. Amen. Oh, love is the inward essence of God.
Amen.
And the heart of God.
Amen.
So I traced through the outline. In actually message 2, it doesn't particularly refer to God being, that love being the inward essence of God, but we had a part there on we need to be inlaid with love. So we need to be redecorated. Not outwardly, but inwardly, with this love. And this verse in 2 Peter 1:4 has new meaning to me. That you may become partakers of the divine nature. That's not just, I always have this thought of, you know, we know gold, divinity, We need to be filled with this, God's divine nature. But this here, to see this in the light of the divine nature of God, is just his inner essence, which is love. So we need to be partakers of the divine love, amen. You could say.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, so that was message two, message three. I'll just read that point, Roman numeral 1b, 3b. Some of you may have it. Love is the inner substance of God. The goal of Ephesians is to bring us into God's inner substance. Sorry, it's not in your outline you have in your handout. I should have said that. So don't try to look for it. The goal of Ephesians is to bring us into God's inner substance so that we may enjoy God as love and enjoy his presence in the sweetness of the divine love and thereby love others as Christ did. So there you see the matter of love being the inner substance of God.
Amen.
And then message four. Again, you don't have it. Message four, 3C3. The love in which the body builds itself up is the love that is the very element, the inner substance of God. This is the love of God in Christ, which becomes the love of God, of Christ in us, by which we love Christ and the fellow members of his body. So here we see love is the inner element, the inner substance of God. And then here, this is message four, I just read, the love of God is God himself. Love is the inward essence of God and the heart of God. And then in message seven, which we're going to touch on later, Roman numeral 2a2, is not actually not in there. God's love is his inward essence. And the Lord's word supplies us with the divine essence with which we love God and love the brothers. Hence, when we keep the divine word, the divine love is perfected through the divine life, which is God himself by which we live. So anyway, I just wanted to point out all these mentions of this love being the inner substance of God. So we know I think we've heard this term, the high peak of the divine revelation. What is the high peak? God becoming man to make man God in life and in nature, but not in the Godhead. How about man becoming God in love? That is the inner substance of God. Amen. I just enjoy that so much. Okay, A, the love of God is the source of salvation. Actually, John 3:16 speaks of the whole world. God so loved the world. And then most of the verses here refer to God's love and that he loved the church. He loves us. Oh, God loves us.
Amen.
Amen. B, God's predestination of us unto the divine sonship was motivated by the divine love. Amen. C, the love of God accomplished salvation for us. God's giving his only begotten Son to us that we may be saved from perdition judicially through his death and have the eternal life organically in his resurrection, again, was motivated by the divine love. Amen. This is a big point. Everything the Lord does, everything God does for us is motivated by love.
Amen.
Amen. One, in the love of God, the Son of God saves us not only from our sins by his blood, but also from our death by his life. Remember yesterday we talked about dirt and sin? Well, here we have the matter of death is also dealt with by his life. Sometimes we get in contact, maybe unintentionally, we get in contact with death. Well, what do we need? We need life's washing.
Amen.
Amen. So there's the blood to deal with our sins, and there's his life to deal with dirt or with death. Amen.
Amen.
God loved us and sent his Son as a propitiation for our sins in his judicial redemption with the intention. Hallelujah. God has an intention that we might have life and live through him in his organic salvation.
Amen.
How about this? God's excelling love is seen in his becoming a propitiatory sacrifice for our sins and the propitiation place for us to meet and be infused with God. God as love meets with us and speaks to us in the propitiating, redeeming, and shining Christ.
Amen.
So that we can be infused with him as love, mercy, and grace.
Amen.
For his effulgence and radiant glory.
Amen.
These are all awesome points that we, once we get the book, or we can now, we have the outline, we want to really get into these things and enjoy all these utterances.
Amen.
Amen. Thank the Lord for these outlines.
Amen.
Sometimes they're a bit long, but they're so full of enjoyment,
Amen.
So full of riches. Point D, the love of God causes us to obtain salvation
Amen.
And become his children.
Amen.
E, the love of God leads us in our living.
Amen.
I enjoyed this point. It leads us in our living.
Amen.
We often say we want to be led by the Spirit. But how about being led by the love of God? I like that. Point F, God has poured out his love in our hearts with the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us as the motivating power within us, so that we may more than conquer in all our tribulations. The love of God works for us eternally. Amen. What an expression. The love of God works for us
Amen.
Eternally.
Amen.
If God is for us, who can be against us?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. This point I just read on the trials or the tribulations, the brother who spoke the message, he mentioned, if the Lord removed all our trials and troubles, what would we overcome? There'd be nothing to overcome. So let's not be so bothered by trials and tribulations. We've heard the expression before that tribulation is the incarnation of grace. So that means when a trouble comes, we learn to turn to the Lord.
Amen.
Learn to receive more of him.
Amen.
They actually just push us, drive us
Amen.
Into God.
Amen.
Amen. So praise the Lord for tribulations.
Amen.
I don't know if we can say that so easily, but okay, how about Roman numeral 3? Can we all read together?
Amen.
Which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you heard. Yet again, a new commandment give you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away. True light is already shining. Amen. The true light is already shining.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So the old commandment is actually just the new commandment, right? In John 13, he says a new commandment. First John, he mentions the same commandment, but he calls it the old one and the new one, which is just the same commandment. Amen. But remember, God's commandments come with his essence, with his life.
Amen.
So the demand, that's the last point today. The supply for the demand. Amen. Okay, point A, the commandment regarding brotherly love is both old and new. Oh, here's the point right here. Old because the believers have had it from the beginning of their Christian life. New because in their Christian walk, it dawns with new light. Amen. And shines with new enlightenment and fresh power again and again.
Amen.
Amen. So, it's both old and new. In this sense, old is not a bad thing. Right? Similar to that other verse where, what's that parable or the portion where the one that takes from the old and the new, the... It might be in one of these verses. But anyway, it's the old there is a positive thing. We the old and the new. It's new. It's old, but it's new. Amen. Amen. We sang the hymn 152. Nothing, well, how's it go? What can separate me? From the love. How's it go again? Oh, what from thee can separate me? Thou wilt love me to the end. Oh, thy love is so prevailing, even thyself with me to blend.
Amen.
Amen. So what can separate us from the love of God? Actually, in Romans 8, you have a whole list of things. Nothing can separate us. And the brother pointed out, not even you can separate yourself from the love of God.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We're firmly attached. We cannot separate ourselves from the love of God.
Amen.
Amen. Point B, the fact that the old commandment is new is true in the Lord. Since he not only gave it to the believers, but also renews it in our daily walk continually. It is true also in the believers, since they not only have received it once for all, but also are enlightened and refreshed by it repeatedly.
Amen.
Amen. Roman numeral 4, maybe we can read all together again. In 1 John, we see that the practice of the divine love is the outcome of our enjoyment of the triune God, who is moving and working within us. Amen. All that he has done, and with all that he has obtained and attained. Amen. Oh, we're getting saturated in this fellowship of the divine life.
Amen.
A, if we would experience and enjoy the divine love and have it become the love by which we love others, we need to know God experientially by continuously living in the divine life. B, in order to practice the divine love as a virtue of the divine life, we need the divine life that has been sown as the seed into our being. We also need the divine spirit. The divine life is the source, and the divine spirit is the one who actually carries out the matter of loving others. There's just too much here to get into detail in all these points. Amen. Point C, we should love God and his children with the divine love and not with our natural love, which must be put on the cross. One difference between God's love and our natural love is that it is very easy for our natural love to be offended. I think one of the brothers shared earlier, there's only two kinds of people, the offenders and the offended. So, you may be a macho brother. I never get offended, right? I think I may have felt like that sometimes. But you're probably offending others. If I say that, I'm already offending you by saying that, right? So, we're either offended or offending in our natural love. So that's kind of the gauge. Amen. Until we are offended, we can love the brothers. But once we're offended, you know, I've had this experience. I love the brothers, or maybe I'm coordinating with someone, and then I get offended. The love is all gone. It's like I hate the brother all of a sudden. How is that possible? God's love is eternal. He loves even if he loves his enemies, right? Amen. We can't do that. Not in our own love. Natural love is very dangerous, I'm reading from my notes, and can switch instantly. That's what I just mentioned. We can love someone and then in the next instant, we don't love them. That shows you that was not the divine love. Amen. Point D, our living in the love of God toward one another is the perfection and completion of this love in its manifestation in us. We're going to get into that in our last Roman numeral, the perfecting. Amen. Roman numeral 5, the church life for the organic building up of the body of Christ is a life of brotherly love. Oh, the church life is a life of brotherly love. Amen. Amen. Well, further to what I just shared, actually, I have another note here. The test is always on you when you are at odds with a brother, even if he is wrong. So even if someone else is wrong, so you think you have a legitimate reason to feel the way you do, but that's a test. Do you love the brother? Point A, the one who loves God and the brothers is enjoying the divine life. The one who does not love is abiding in the satanic death. Oh, what a contrast. We want to be in the divine love, not in the satanic death. B, just as the Lord Jesus laid down his soul life that we might have the divine life, we need to lose our soul life and deny the self to love the brothers and minister life to them in the practice of the body life. C, we need to lose our soul life by not loving the world with its pleasure. Instead, taking in God and expressing God as love in the church life of brotherly love should be our joy, amusement, entertainment, and happiness. Amen. Saints, we have joy, amen. Amusement, amen. Entertainment, happiness. Amen. This is the real entertainment. All the other things, you might be enjoying a movie, but once it's over, you feel miserable. Does it still work that way? It did 20 years ago when I used to. Sometimes I still feel I need to watch something with my daughters, but I still get the same, you know, anything. It could be the most happy story, but in the end you're left empty, dry. So we need to be more in this divine entertainment. Amen. Amusement. Happiness. This is lasting. Amen. Point D, brotherly love in the church life is expressed practically in our caring for the necessities of the needy saints without any self-serving purpose or outward self-display. In the matter of material things, in the sharing of material things with the needy saints, the grace, this is good, the grace of the Lord's life with his love flows among the members of the body of Christ and is infused into them. Amen. We often hear about mammon. You know, there's God, there's mammon. The two are against each other. But isn't it amazing? We share these things, the material things, the necessities of living. Actually, the divine life flows among us. We need to learn to experience this. Amen. We're not just helping someone because we feel sorry for them, but we want to experience the riches of this life. Amen. Oh, the grace of the Lord's life flows among the members. Amen. 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 E, loving to be first in the church is versus loving all the brothers. There's, I think in 3 John 9, there's this brother that loved to be first. And I don't know if it's the same place, I didn't look up the verse, but he even cast out the ones that didn't agree with him. So, oh Lord, we don't want to love to be the first. We want to love the brothers.
Amen.
Amen. Loving one another, loving one another is a sign that we belong to Christ.
Amen.
If we desire to have the ability to influence people concerning the Lord and to bear fruit, we must love, have love for one another and become one in the church life.
Amen.
The best way for us to bear fruit is to love one another by taking Christ as our person and life. Wow, loving one another by taking Christ as our person and our life.
Amen.
G, the genuine preaching of the gospel is a matter in fellowship.
Amen.
Because it is a matter of the body. The branches of the tree bear fruit in a way of fellowship. The more we live in the body life and have the reality of the body life, the more we will be fruitful.
Amen.
Fruit bearing is a body matter.
Amen.
Amen. As we're abiding in the vine, this sap, this life is flowing among us.
Amen.
H, the condition of the vital groups in the church life is that of loving one another in oneness and with one accord. For the practice of the vital groups, the saints need to be trained how to have fellowship. That is altogether based on oneness and one accord.
Amen.
Earlier in this training, actually the very first message, the opening word, the brother said, we need to be trained in love. Do you ever hear that expression? We need to be trained in love. Here he says, we need to be trained how to fellowship. Amen. I, the church life of brotherly love, in the church life of brotherly love, note all the one another's. You might want to underline them. I did. We receive one another, have the same mind toward one another, pursue the things for building up one another, bear one another's burdens, bear one another in love, comfort and build up one another. Confess our sins to one another.
Amen.
Pray for one another.
Amen.
Forgive one another.
Amen.
And are subject to one another.
Amen.
How does that work, being subject to one another? That means I'm subject to Sean and he's subject to me, right? That's, if you put it very practically, you look at whoever is next to you, you subject to him, he subjects to you, right? We'll be subject to one another. We have this kind of life in us.
Amen.
Wow, we're doing pretty good. Point J, the proper church meeting,
one
by the
another.
Way, sorry?
One another.
Okay, yeah, let's read it together. Amen. The proper church meeting is one another meeting, a round table meeting in which we speak to one another, teach and admonish one another, consider one another and exhort one another. Listen to one another. We need to learn to have a proper mutual care in the meetings. How about finish? K. We need to be dealt with and built up by the Lord so that
our administration of the church and our ministry of the word will result in the brothers and sisters spontaneously loving one another for the building up of the church. When the saints truly grow in their spiritual life, the experience of the divine life will result in an increase of love.
Love,
because
amen.
Love is the
issue of life.
This will
cause a church life to be living, prevailing, functioning, and powerful. Oh, we need to pay attention to this. We want this kind of church life, right? When the saints genuinely grow in their spiritual life, the experience of the divine life will result in an increase of love. So we need to grow in life so we can have this love increase within us.
Amen.
Because love is the issue of life. This will cause the church life to be living, prevailing, functioning, and powerful.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay, so we have one more Roman numeral which was added which in the original outline was the first part of message 7. I believe it's in your outline. So the title of that message 7 was Being Perfect as the Heavenly Father is Perfect, by being perfected in His love. This point on being perfect. Naturally, well, I'm a little bit of a perfectionist. I think maybe many of us are. We like to do things perfect and right. But I have learned over the years I cannot. Even at work, I can't be perfect. I don't know if I've ever been perfect in anything. Even if you have 100% on your grade, were you actually perfect? Anyway, that's maybe an outward definition of perfect. But we have this thought, when we see that we need to be perfect, it's just too high. We can't attain it. Why would the Lord even say that we should be perfect? There's no way, right? Do you ever feel that way? That's my experience. It's been my experience. But it must be possible. If it's in the Word of God, it must be possible. Amen. But let's see what this means, being perfect. Let's just go through the outline and we'll... This is very, very enjoyable. Amen. Amen. Roman numeral 1, let's read all together. At the end of Matthew 5, to conclude an exceedingly high section of the constitution of the kingdom of the heavens, the Lord Jesus said, You shall be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Amen. You shall be perfect as, is not close to, but as your heavenly Father is perfect. Amen. So I circled the word as. It's a big word. A little note here. Without this, we are hopeless, even though we feel as, the word as, makes it seem like Mount Everest. The phrase is high, is a high requirement as well as the solution. That's the point. It's a high requirement, but it's also the solution. You shall be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. How is this going to happen? Amen. I think there's only one way. There's only one life that can do it. Okay, point A. The kingdom people, the audience for the Lord's decree of the constitution of the kingdom of the heavens, are the regenerated believers in the New Testament, as the title, Sons of Your Father, in verse 45 indicates. So this is spoken to the believers. One, they are God, the Father's children, having the Father's divine life and divine nature. Now this point. Hence, they can be perfect as their heavenly Father is perfect.
Amen.
So I think we need to be a little adjusted in our thought of the word perfect. It's not talking about being a perfectionist, not making any mistake. It's not what it's talking about. It's talking about a life. We need to have a life constituted into us. The Heavenly Father's life is perfect. So therefore, if you get this life into you, you shall be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect.
Amen.
I like to even use that. I know the meaning here is, for the word shall, might be, you know, there's a few different ways you can apply it. But to me, I like to apply it even in the way of a promise or a commandment. You will be perfect. You shall be perfect.
Amen.
It will happen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Point B, the demand of the new law of the kingdom is much higher than the requirement of the law of the old dispensation. This higher demand can be met only by the Father's divine life, not by the natural life. So the new kingdom in Matthew, there's, you know, in the Old Testament, there was all these commandments, but in the Lord speaking, he elevated that standard, you could say. It's like unattainable. But there's also the supply to meet this demand. Number one, the kingdom of the heavens is the highest demand. And the divine life of the Father is the highest supply to meet that demand. I underlined, circled, highlighted that as much as I could. The divine life is the solution. Amen. The very one who gives the demand gives the solution. Amen. So God gives us the demand. We don't have to come up with a solution. But he gives us a solution. He says, here's the demand, here's the life. Amen. Amen. Isn't that good? We need to have this life constituted into us. Small one, the demand of the new law of the kingdom is actually the expression of the new life, the divine life, which is within the regenerated kingdom people. This demand opens up the inner being of the regenerated people. Okay, so here's a big point. So the demand causes us to open.
Right.
We see the demand, can't do it.
Right.
Okay, so we're opening our inner being, showing them that they are able to attain such a high level. Did I miss something? This demand opens up the inner being of the regenerated people. Okay, so yeah, so it forces you to open up. And when you open up, it shows them that they are able to attain
Amen.
To such a high level and have such a high living.
Amen.
Wow, even have such a high living. We become God's regenerated children by the coming of the Spirit of God into our spirit to regenerate us
Amen.
And to make our spirit the dwelling place of God. If we walk according to our regenerated human spirit and dwelt by and mingled with the divine life, we are living by God's life to fulfill the righteous requirement of the law.
Amen.
Amen. All the requirements of the law shall be fulfilled in us.
Amen.
Romans 8. See, for the kingdom people to be perfect as their heavenly Father is perfect means that they are perfect in His love. Again, this point. Love is the nature of God's essence.
Amen.
Amen. Through the precious and exceedingly great promises given by God, we, the believers in Christ, have become partakers of His divine nature.
Amen.
In an organic union with Him. So this verse has new meaning to me, as I mentioned earlier. We partake of this love, of the divine nature, the inner essence of God. And actually, eventually, the body builds itself up in love. We can say the body builds itself up in the inner essence of God. To partake of the divine nature is to enjoy what God is. Three, the virtue of this divine nature carries us into God's glory. Into the full expression of the triune God.
Amen.
To receive the divine life by believing and continually enjoying the divine nature, which is the substance of the divine life. The more we enjoy the divine nature, the more we have His virtue.
Amen.
The more we are brought into His glory.
Amen.
So this is a process. We receive God's life when we got regenerated. But this life, as a song that we sing, this life needs our maintaining. We need to stay connected, seen in the branches, in the vine. We're connected to this law, this law of love. What an utterance that was. So as long as we're connected, the law of love operates.
Amen.
This nature operates in us.
Amen.
Our enjoyment of the divine nature is both for the present and for eternity.
Amen.
See in Revelation that we're still going to be eating and drinking the tree of life and the river of water of life. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Prayer reading is one of the best ways to partake of the divine nature. I wrote that in my notes the brother shared. So we pray read the Word.
Amen.
The Word comes into us.
Amen.
Digest the Word. We partake of the divine nature. Point D, to be perfect is to have God add. Okay, here, this is right here in one short sentence. To be perfect is to have God added to us. That's a new definition of perfect.
Amen.
To be perfect. Brothers, can you be perfect? Yes. Amen. To be perfect is to have God added to us. So if you want to be perfect, have God added to you.
Amen.
Stop struggling and striving and straining. Just eat God.
Amen.
Enjoy God.
Amen.
Enjoy this life.
Amen.
This is seen in God's word to Abraham in Genesis 17:1. I am the all-sufficient God. Oh, walk before, I didn't even see this before. It says right there, walk before me and be perfect.
Amen.
Amen. Wow. The all-sufficient God, it's like actually like an udder. That's the interpretation of this word. God is an all-sufficient one. He has the supply.
Amen.
We need to drink of Him.
Amen.
Be attached to Him.
Amen.
And then we can walk. This is our living. I didn't see this before till just now. That's why I enjoy coming to the meetings.
Amen.
There's so much light.
Amen.
We have a living. Walk before me.
Amen.
And be perfect.
Amen.
Amen. Point one, the divine title, all-sufficient God, El Shaddai, in Hebrew, reveals God as the source of grace to supply His called ones.
Amen.
Isn't this amazing? In Genesis 17, God already shows us a glimpse of this. I didn't realize this before. Right there in Genesis 17,
Amen.
Beginning of the Bible. Wow. He wants to be the supply, grace to supply, He is the grace, source of grace, to supply His called ones with the riches of His divine being for the fulfillment of His purpose.
Amen.
And God's, and the Lord's grace being sufficient for us is the Lord's power being perfected in our weakness.
Amen.
So unless we are weak, we cannot experience this. It's actually a requirement. We need to be weak in ourselves so that we can enjoy the supply.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Whenever we love, I'm reading my notes here. Whenever we love out of this grace as the all-sufficient supply or udder, we are perfected.
Amen.
So let's enjoy this supply.
Amen.
I don't know if Abraham understood this. I kind of doubt it. Do you think he understood what this means? But nevertheless, he heard this. And the Lord, through the Bible, eventually He made this clear what this means. Walk before me and be perfect.
Amen.
Maybe I'll put that on the wall. My office or somewhere. Walk before me and be perfect.
Amen.
Amen. To walk before God is to walk in His presence. Constantly enjoying Him and His all-sufficient supply.
Amen.
What a life. Amen. To be perfect is to have God added to us as the element and factor of perfection.
Amen.
Again, it's just to have God added to us. Practically, it means that we do not rely on the strength of the flesh, but trust in God as the all-sufficient mighty one.
Amen.
For our life and our work. E, before God gave Moses the law, He spent time to infuse Moses with Himself.
Amen.
This is so good. One of my favorite portions in the Bible in Exodus 24, where they were up in the mountain, they sat down and they beheld God and ate and drank.
Amen.
Another wonderful preview of what was to come. They actually had a foretaste. Saints, we should be those.
Amen.
Beholding God and eating and drinking.
Amen.
God's intention is to infuse us with Himself, that He will have a way to do everything in us and for us.
Amen.
to fulfill the commandments he gives to us. Wow, what a statement again. So all these commandments, they seem so high. Can you love your brother as yourself even? It's impossible. But with this life, there is the supply. Amen. Oh, he has given everything. He has provided everything for us to meet the demand. The emphasis in the Bible is that we need God to come into us and do everything in us and for us.
Amen.
Wow, the emphasis in the Bible. Amen. The requirements of the law in the Old Testament were given to prove that man is not able. And the requirements of the commandments in the New Testament were given to prove that God is able.
Amen.
We are not able, but God is able.
Amen.
Outside of us, he gives us many commandments, but inside of us, he is keeping all these commandments for us.
Amen.
I just love it. This is stupendous. This is so great. Amen. Amen. A big reason we don't get the benefit is because we don't eat the right way, is what the brother shared. So we need to eat.
Amen.
Eat the Lord. We have the supply to meet the demand.
Amen.
Lastly, there's a verse in, I thought I had written the reference down, John 4:17. This is very, very cherishing, shepherding, and encouraging. Actually, the most encouraging. 1 John 4, starting at verse 17. Actually, verse 16. And we know and have believed the love which God has in us. Do you ever see this before? The love which God has in us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God. So that means God is love. That's his essence. So if we abide in love, we abide in God. And he who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him.
Amen.
Isn't this the high peak? Is this God becoming man to make man God in life and in nature,
Amen.
But not in the Godhead? Verse 17. In this has love been perfected with us, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment.
Amen.
Because even as he is, so also are we in this world. Did you ever see these? I never saw these verses so clearly before. Wow, this is what we just talked about here. It's in the Bible. It's here for us to eat and enjoy.
Amen.
So we will be perfect.
Amen.
So the brother shared one of the messages that we always fear the judgment, and we should have a healthy fear. But we tend to live in fear. But we don't need to anymore. Let me read the next verse. There is no fear in love.
Amen.
There is no fear in love.
Amen.
But perfect love. What is perfect love? You shall be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. That is the perfect love.
Amen.
Perfect love casts out fear, because fear has punishment. He who fears has not been perfected in love. And the brother was ecstatic when he shared this, and I'm ecstatic.
Amen.
You know, at the judgment seat, actually, I heard a while back a brother share, and we need to. Brother Nee actually says he lived in the shadow of the judgment seat, like his whole, that was his living, with the fear of the judgment. And we need to have that aspect. But according to a verse in James, mercy triumphs over judgment. So even at the mercy seat, no matter how good and failure-free you lived, you're still going to need mercy. But I enjoyed this even more in light of this. If we have God constituted into us as the element, we have, what's he going to do with us? If we're fully saturated with this love, we have nothing to fear. Because God cannot deny himself.
Amen.
He cannot lie. So anyway, I just enjoyed this so much. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has punishment. He who fears has not been perfected in love. So, saints, if you fear, just enjoy more of this divine love,
Amen.
This divine nature.
Amen.
We love because He first loved us.
Amen.
If anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God loves his brother also.
Amen.
Anyway, I just really enjoy this matter of the divine love being perfected in
Amen.
Us. I feel this is, you know, you have the, in Ephesians, you have the incorruptible love, you have the whole process, the body being, we were chosen in love, we're being rooted and grounded in love, we walk in love, we're being built up in love, and so on. So, but then we have the supply. So let's not be like the Ephesians were, that they had lost their first love
Amen.
For the Lord. In fact, they had something to fear in the judgment, right? Having lost their first love. The Lord had one thing against them. So my feeling is just if we love the Lord with our whole heart, with our whole mind, with our whole strength, what else can we do? What is safer than this? So thank the Lord for this word.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.